You're listening to Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join in on the conversation on Google+.
Hello and welcome to Screen View Episode 5. I have with me the Swirly Edition, John Denny and Amy Morgan.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys this week?
We're good.
Very good.
Well, you took a little bit of a hiatus last week because, I skipped town. But we are back this week, so we have a bit more stuff to get to. Not a lot of stuff. Some stuff here and there. Not a lot of huge stuff. But
Not a lot of news this week.
Yeah, I'm hoping you guys saw the Muppets trailer. Did you guys see the Muppets trailer?
I did. I checked it out.
I saw it, when they were saying they were going to come out, a teaser trailer I saw.
Yeah, yeah. They came out with a full-length trailer last week, and I kind of want to see this movie. Is it wrong?
It's good.
I was never really a huge... I know it's kind of wrong, but I was never a really huge Muppets fan, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, I know of them, but I never really, knew them. They were not my, dearest friends when I was younger. So, but I actually do want to see this movie, so...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's...
When I was a kid growing up, we saw all of the Muppet shows when I was a kid. I remember, getting ready for bed, going and eating dinner and getting our showers and everything and getting in clean pajamas just so that we could go and watch the Muppet show.
Right.
And then watching that and then going to bed afterwards and just, it was the Muppet Show. We did this every week. It was a weekly activity. So I am very much a child of the Muppets.
Right.
Well, I think it's funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to bring my kids. I'm going to expose them as much as I can to the Muppets.
Very good. I was going to say, I think it's funny that, people my age, I guess, I was kind of introduced to the Muppets through Muppet Babies.
Yeah, yeah, Muppet Babies. Yeah. And there's always the Muppet human that you never saw because it was always just their legs.
Right.
Always yelling at Muppets.
Kind of like Peanuts.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was such a weird, I don't know. I've seen all the Muppet movies, and I saw some of the Muppet shows, but really where I grew up on was the Muppet Babies and watching all those cartoons and kind of being introduced to it that way. But, I was telling Peter earlier today that I want to see this movie because of Jason Segel's in it. And
yep.
I don't know. I think he's funny enough to watch kind of anything that he's going to be in. So,
yeah.
I'm in. Definitely.
Yeah. I think, like you were saying, Jason Segel, Amy Adams. Oddly enough, Chris Cooper's in this as well.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Chris Cooper in a Muppets movie, but so pretty much the premise is that the Muppets are trying to get back into showbiz and stuff, and then people are like, don't even really
who the
know
Muppets?
Who the Muppets are anymore. So they're so they try to go in.
Are you a Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was great. So they're trying to come back, do this whole world tour and stuff like that. So that'd be really cool. I think it kind of plays to itself, as a comeback kind of thing. So I'm very interested. It's very interesting. So.
Just as when you think that the Muppets could not revitalize themselves, they do.
Yeah, and apparently, Jason Segel is a huge fan of the Muppets, so he kind of poured a lot of work into this movie.
That's good.
So it's really cool to see, he's very, he's really interested in the movie, and he really put a lot of work into it. So it'll be cool to see.
Oh, good.
I think it'll be more successful than the Smurfs.
The Smurfs made a lot of movies, man. They made a lot of dough.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to believe, but the Smurfs made a lot of money. I can't remember specifically how much, but...
Well, it wasn't for me, because I didn't dare go see that. I thought it was lame. Yeah.
I kind of felt like a lot of people would say, kind of what Amy said. It's like, no, I don't want to do that, because... Yeah.
Let's have the Smurfs have an adventure in New York City.
Oddly enough, it made $550 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, at a budget of 110. So you're going to get the Smurfs, Smurf Mole or something.
Wow.
The sequel to the Smurfs movie. I don't know. It made most of its money in the foreign box office, but, you know, it's still made enough money that they're probably just going to keep making them.
I find that surprising.
It is amazing.
I find that very surprising, too. Maybe it's because a bunch of people said, oh, Smurfs, I'll let my kids go to that. I'm not going to watch it, but I'll let my kids go to it.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, right. I mean, if the Smurfs made that much money, the Muppets better make a crap ton. Like,
yeah.
It looks like infinitively better than the
it'll be better done, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, when people look back on, I know I did, when the Smurfs movie came out, I was like, oh my god, the Smurfs, looking back when it was kind of dumb, but, like, the Muppets is, like, you know, Muppets is fun. So I think that people will look more fondly to the Muppets, and they will, at least the circle of people that I was hanging out in, everybody was kind of like, you know, deriding the Smurfs movie. I'm actually surprised that it made over, you know.
Yeah, the awful.
Over $100 million. Dollars.
The horrendous.
When it comes out on video, I'll go out and rent it and see if it was as bad as I thought it was. And if it is, then I will come on the podcast and I will moan and grouch about it.
There we go. Once it comes out.
Look forward to that.
So a couple other trailers that came out in the past 2 weeks is Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, which I don't know if you guys have seen the original.
I did.
I saw the original, and then I saw the one when you put it on our notes, and I have to say, I'm liking where this is going. I will definitely go and see that. It looks like it's going to be a very successful trailer, or movie number two, which is good, because, like, second movies usually don't do very good.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the new trailer yet, but I'm definitely in to see this movie. Is it directed by Guy Ritchie again?
Yep, he's back. So you can't really go wrong with that, right? Because Guy Ritchie's for very, like, sharp dialogue and stuff like that. So,
I mean, as long as everything stays the same from the first movie, I mean, same characters and everything. So,
yeah, it's pretty much just a continuation of that, because it brings back in the first movie they kind of hinted at Professor Moriarty,
right.
I can't see it as well because I'm not British, but so he
Moriarty.
Moriarty. Yeah. He kind of brings, you know, he comes. He's behind everything that happened in the first movie, so they go and get him. Crazy enough, Moriarty is played by the guy from Fringe. He was, like, before he got cut in half.
Oh,
Jared Harris. I believe.
That's where I remember him from. Yeah. Cool.
So he got
awesome.
Yeah, so he you know, it's going to be interesting. So that comes out on Christmas, I believe.
Nice. I think it was it was December last time too, wasn't it?
Yeah, December.
It was a Christmas movie. Yeah. So it was surprisingly I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So
does it seem like this one's going to be, like, a little bit darker or kind of on par with the
it
last
feels
one?
Like it's going to be right on par with the last one,
okay.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I actually, just carrying on the same thought, I heard that they have already signed on for the third Sherlock Holmes movie.
Yep, they're already working on
that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I guess they are, you know, everything this will turn out pretty well. So.
Right, yeah. Which it will.
Yeah. The last trailer that we have is Martin Scorsese's Hugo. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
No.
It's really bizarre because it's like this kid has.
I assume it's about Hugo Weaving.
No.
No.
It's about this.
I'm
kid.
I'm wondering if it's actually based on a book, because I did just watch it when you put it in here and before we started.
Yeah.
It kind of has, like, that steampunk kind of feel to it, and along the lines of the Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events or whatever. Mm-hmm. It kind of has that feel to it.
Hey, John, your video appeared. You are no longer
excellent.
Swirly. This is kind of amazing. you're actually. Let me see. It is a book, but it is written and illustrated by a person named Brian Selznick. So it's not a...
Nice.
That name is familiar. I kind of... I think that my audio dropped a little bit. What did you say it was based on? Or what is it about, I guess? I didn't have time to check out the trailer.
I interrupted. Sorry. Go ahead. John. Tell us about it.
So Hugo is a little... It's very interesting. It's like... I really like the way they play these trailers. Like, when they kind of... they tell you what's going on, but at the same time, it's like there's some mystery kind of surrounding it. I hate those trailers where they say, oh, this is exactly what's happening. You're like, why would I watch this movie? So in Hugo, it's this kid, his dad and him built something, this thing together, and they needed a key to get this thing moving. The boy runs into a girl. It turns out she has the key, and that unlocks this adventure. You don't really show what's going on. Like, they don't really explain to you what's going on. They just say it's a big adventure, and they go and figure out that what kind of message that left the father left his son, and it's like in this robot. It's very interesting. There's kind of a mystery behind it. So I think it's definitely one of those where I'd be interested in seeing, because you're like, I don't really know what this movie's about, kind of. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're still keeping it very, it's more of a teaser trailer, because we really have no idea what it's about still.
Yeah. If you haven't read the book.
Unless you've read the book.
Right. Exactly. And I have not read the book. So it's a Scholastic book. I haven't read Scholastic since I was a kid. So, apparently only came out like 4 or 5 years ago. So, but that's that. Let's see here. Arnold Schwarzenegger returns to the films, does a movie that sounds like a combination of Walking Tall and No Country for Old Men. I don't even know what it's called. I don't think it's a movie yet. Oh, called The Last Stand?
The Last Stand, yeah.
It's about a former Los Angeles police officer who becomes a sheriff of a sleepy border town and finds himself standing between a ruthless drug cartel leader and the border. Yeah, it sounds like... It's directed by a Korean director.
It'll come and go. I don't think that it'll be anything that, you know, people will go see it and there'll be a lot of hubbub about it because it's Schwarzenegger coming back to being in movies, actually being in movies instead of a computer generated Arnold Schwarzenegger like in Terminator Salvation.
I didn't see it. You spoiled it.
It came out 3 years ago. I think you had plenty of time to go see it. So I mean I'll watch it probably on DVD unless the trailer kind of knocks my socks off, but I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be, like I said, there'll be a lot of press about it, and you know, he's been in the news recently because of whatever scandal he had while he was in office.
Yeah.
So they'll make a big deal about
divorce
that too.
As well.
Right So yeah. I have a feeling it was come and go, and then by the time, you know, I'll probably get back into the swing of being in movies again, and everything will be like it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I'll be back.
Yeah. You're right. Exactly.
All right, so...
Or he'll say something like, who's your daddy and what does he do?
I do want to see that...
Those are the only two impressions I do. Thank you very much.
This director, Kim Ji-woon, he's got this movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird. I actually heard about that movie a couple years ago, and it's on my Netflix queue right now, so I do want to see that.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that. It's been on my instant watch for quite a while now, and I haven't had a chance to watch it because there's some days that you just don't feel like reading subtitles the whole time. So
Right.
I haven't done it yet, but he's done a series of films, like Korean films, that have been known to be like, you know, well directed films. So it shouldn't be too bad. It'd be interesting. Johnny Knoxville and Forrest Whitaker will also star. We'll see how that goes.
Something about this, the idea of being a sleepy border town that finds itself standing between ruthless drug cartel and the border. It just political statement.
Yeah, right, pretty much.
Yeah, and I just, the idea of that one just makes me want to go, I don't think I'm going to go see it, because they'll probably say something or they'll put some slant on it that'll either bother me or I'll be like, oh, that's so totally not the truth.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't want to. That's probably what will put me off more than anything else.
It sounds like one of the later Steven Seagal movies, but I can't put my finger on which one.
All of Steven Seagal's movies are like that.
Well, I mean, like, kind of like there was a movie where he was like an environmentalist or something like that.
What?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to me, this plot just kind of rings sort of like that, where he's like a one man army, and you know he's going to take down a big corporation and this and that, but you know, in the end, it's just another action movie.
We will we'll see. It'll be interesting. Coming soon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
Speaking of coming soon, you're going to have to wait another 2 years for Thor 2. It got moved to November 2013. This time, I'm kind of upset that Kenneth Branagh is not returning to Thor 2. He was really good for it. But Patty Jenkins, who directed Monster, is now has taken over. That will be in 2015. So.
I think it'll be fine. I mean, it was good for Kenneth Branagh to do the first one because it kind of played off like a lot of like the mythology and sort of like a Shakespearean type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a Shakespearean actor like Kenneth Branagh to kind of control that environment worked for the movie, but to carry the movie forward. You don't necessarily need that big name director behind it. And I'm sure he costs a lot of money for Marvel, being who he is. So, I think it'll be fine. You probably won't even notice. You'll probably forget by the time. No, I mean, seriously, you'll probably forget by the time the movie comes out. And then when the credits roll, you say, oh yeah, it's not Kenneth Branagh doing this one. Or you might say, who directed the first one? Like, that might be a serious reaction. I mean, in my mind. But you never know. I mean, it might be a terrible movie. Who knows?
We'll find out.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
Now, what movie did they even say what movie they're going to put in May?
No. I actually, it's some Chinese. It's not Chinese. It's some Disney kids film.
Right.
And
I mean,
a
movie to put
Disney's
in there.
Lone Ranger. They pushed Thor 2 for Lone Ranger. Every time I hear Lone Ranger, I keep thinking of Airheads. Airheads, like the Lonely Rangers.
Right.
But it's obviously not. It's actually going to be, that is actually a Johnny Depp movie. So it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be weird, as always.
It could be good, and then it could be strange and unusual.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not really the time for. I mean, it seems like a lot of the Marvel Comics movies come out in the same month. You know, a couple of years, like Iron Man 1 came out in June, and Iron Man 2 came out in May, but that's not too much of a difference.
Yeah.
2 years apart, and the Spider-Man movies all came out in you know, April or May. I mean, two and a half years.
Well, it'd be only about a year and a half after Avengers, right? So, and then Iron Man is coming out as 2013 I think.
Obviously, there's going to be a good pace between all the other movies. So I guess it makes sense, but it just seems like sitting at it now, you're looking at this date as November 13, and you're like, oh my god, that's 2 years. From now, and I saw Thor in theaters 6 months ago. So I don't know. It
Should
just seems like a really long time between two movies. But then, oddly enough, I was looking at information about Hellboy today, and Hellboy 1 and Hellboy 2 came out 4 years apart. Did you realize that?
Yeah, that's why nobody watched the second one.
I know.
I mean, not enough people. Nobody watched the first one either. So like. I mean, I just watched.
I did.
Yeah,
I know.
We did too. But I just saw the second one maybe like early this year in its entirety. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I saw it
too. I mean, it was on FX a lot, but they cut out a lot of crap. So.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Lone Ranger is actually in May. Phineas and Ferb took over.
Oh really?
Yeah,
wow.
Took over Thor. Thor was actually slated for July 2013, not May 2013.
What is it?
Phineas and Ferb.
Okay.
Amy. I actually don't know anything about Phineas and Ferb.
I know a little bit about it. I've seen a couple of the cartoons and stuff like that. I've been wanting to, like, you know, start getting some of the episodes for the kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. All I know is it's really cool because there's, like, a platypus, a pet platypus in there called Perry, who's a secret agent. And I love Perry. I think he's awesome.
Perry the Platypus, right. There it is.
So other than that, yeah, Perry the Platypus, there you go.
Yeah, it's a Disney Channel it's show little... that they're turning into a movie.
Yeah,
so, a full action Phineas and Ferb. Coming to you July 2013.
All
kids
right.
Will love it.
Yeah.
Bring your kids.
Yeah, kids are going to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's enough of that. before we get on to some other weekend box office stuff, Netflix came out with their earnings yesterday, and they lost 810,000 U.S. subscribers last quarter.
Wow!
Their stock dropped yesterday 26%, and it's down today 34%. Today, Tuesday, October 25th. Well, they lost 810,000 subscribers in 3 months.
After everything was kind of smooth, I mean, obviously not smoothed over. Smoothed over?
You can do that. You can do it.
Yeah. After everything was smoothed over, I figured that things would kind of even out for them. Not that they would get all their subscribers back.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would plateau.
Yeah, so...
Nothing really happened to make people leave again. It's not like they hiked their rates again, right?
No, but these three months included the price hike. So a lot of people left in between this time that they announced it and when they actually enacted.
Said today that their stock dropped.
Yeah, well, people just keep selling it off. I don't know. I mean, because it dropped 26% yesterday, so... I'm guessing that a lot of people just kept selling it today, too.
Maybe their stock dropped today because people saw their earnings for the last quarter.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's kind of a reaction to that. Yeah.
So the issue is, you know, they're worried about increasing licensing costs because Netflix is getting more, you know, range of... they're getting more, you know, more name for themselves. Like Starz, mm-hmm. they offered them a boatload of cash to take a deal to get their content, and they said no. So... It more or less is what, you know, expect to see this more often. And Reed Hastings obviously has been drawing a lot of fire, so people are losing confidence in him, so they're selling their stock. But what you can understand is right now Netflix is a really good price, right? Because it closed today at $77.37. At one point this year in the 52-week period, it was as high as $304.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Now's a good time to to get on board with Netflix because they're going to stick around. They've been around for how long?
They'll
bounce back. It'll bounce back.
What company right now is offering what they're offering? Even in the streaming service, nobody's offering anything. You have to rent it or you have to pirate it. What else are you going to do? Like it's Hulu, right? which is television only, which we'll get to in a second. And that's about it. Like, there's no movies. You can't stream movies anywhere anymore unless you want to go on like, you know, your pay, you know, your Channel One on your like local Comcast box or whatever, right? So, and those are old movies anyway. So, right.
Yeah. The people who left Netflix are the people who were looking for a reason to drop Netflix.
Right.
Yeah.
And the people who were upset or, you know, quote-unquote, morally outraged by the price hikes or, you know, splitting of the services like they were planning on doing, those people who weren't really – didn't want to lose the service but were upset, they're going to keep it or if they drop, they'll come back. So it's not like
– Yeah, exactly.
The company will be fine.
What I expect is a lot of people are going to say – oh, I shouldn't have dropped Netflix. I miss it so much. And then they're just going to pick it back up again. I mean, it happens. You know, people get so pissed, and then they come back anyway. It happens.
Right.
So
there are people out there where it could easily go the other way, where they drop the service, and then they get caught up doing other things with all this free time they now have that, you know, it just never occurs to them to, or at the time, or for a few months, or whatever, to sign back up for the service, but there'll be people that will come back, or go back as if I, you know,
Yeah.
People like me that left a long, long time ago that are deciding to come back despite all of this.
Right, exactly. Like, some people just don't care, you know? Like, I don't care because as a cord cutter, what else am I going to do? This is a great deal. Like, $50 for 100 channels that have nothing on versus $15 for something that I can watch on demand is pretty fantastic. There's no reason for me to drop the price. It's a really good alternative, is what I
think. Right.
So Hulu decided not to sell itself, even though it got a lot of money offers. Apparently it's not enough, so they're not selling themselves. Hulu's...
What were they asking for?
That's all right.
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, apparently Google was giving them a boatload of cash, though.
Wow.
They were offering a pretty hefty amount of money.
Maybe they just did it to find out if there was a lot of interest out there and how much they could get for the company.
I guess. I don't really know how. Yeah, I guess. I don't know how, like, people are just going to say,
how much these people out there want to buy us for. Just for kicks,
you know?
Wow, that's pretty good. Let's find out in 2 years how we're gonna fare too.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah. Apparently, Yahoo, Amazon, and Dish were both trying to bid in between $1.5 to $2 billion for Hulu.
Wow,
which is a lot of money, right? I mean, like, it's just free television online. There are some Hulu Plus things, but you got to pay. Like, they don't really have a lot of subscribers because they're obviously not as big as Netflix or anything like that. Apparently, Google paid... It doesn't say here. But they paid... apparently, they went over the top and just said, hey, why not? Let's give it a shot. But, you know, Hulu decided to take itself back off the market. So NBC... NBC gave up its controlling stake, but they still own part of it since Comcast now owns NBC... Universal, so ABC and Fox, so that's News Corp, decided, you know, they kind of goofed off around. I don't know. So Paranormal 3 this weekend made $52.6 million. Apparently it is the top grossing horror film of all, like, opening horror film of all time.
Wow.
It broke international box office records and national, I believe. And then Real Steel, Footloose, Three Musketeers. That's crazy. I didn't expect Three Musketeers to be there. And The Ides of March, which they're pretty low. I mean, Real Steel is at 10.8. So they made, like...
After number one, everything kind of dropped off.
Yeah, they make considerable.
I was surprised that Paranormal Activity did so well.
I mean, they're making a...
It's October. Come on. Right now, everybody wants a scary movie.
But thing dropped. The thing was, what, third or fourth last week, and now it's at sixth or seventh.
I went and saw The Thing. Sorry.
Oh, did you?
Part of my pun, but you know what the thing that was really confusing me about The Thing was that they would always say it would be like the trailer that they kept playing was everybody is afraid of something. But it never told you what the movie was. So I was just like, what's the name of this movie? What's going on?
Right.
I had to, research it to find out.
The thing is, it's a prequel, as I understand it.
It is. It's a prequel. It's supposed to happen. It takes place just before the original.
Okay, so...
Great.
Which was also a remake, by the way.
Yes, it was.
What?
Yes.
It was. The original was like movie, way, right? way back, yes. And the thing was like a vegetable kind of looking guy. It was funny.
Right. But Pete, if you haven't seen the original The Thing from the 80s with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, 1982 with Kurt Russell, yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely worth seeing, and it will scare the pants off you.
No. I've established this early. I am a little pansy when it comes to horror films. I am not watching this thing. There's no way. There's no way I'm watching this movie.
If you've seen...
The point of scary movies, though.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I don't like it.
Aw. I wouldn't say it's like... For me, this is the level of what I'd say. Okay, The Grudge scared the crap out of me.
The Grudge.
Have you seen The Grudge? that freaked me out. That was like, I'd say it's the all-time scariest one I've ever seen was The Grudge. Mm. This was nowhere near that. It was very suspenseful and very thrilling, and you had no idea who was going to be infected and who wasn't. Like, so who was the human and who was, like, the thing? Mm. So they did really great with that. But if you were really scared by The Grudge, you will be thrilled by this, but I don't think that you're going to be scared out of your wits.
The whole idea of the original movie is that it's a alien shapeshifter.
So yeah.
There are people stuck in Antarctica who are trapped with this alien thing, and they don't know if the alien is this guy, if the alien is this guy, who it is. So it's kind of like, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere, and everyone's kind of against each other.
Yeah.
Sounds exactly like this movie.
It is a lot like that, but like they threw in a few different things to make it a few different elements so that it would set it apart from that one. Mm-hmm. In this one, you learn a little bit more about the aliens, maybe that's just a little bit more.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Well, the way that the first... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because you learn a few things, a few details that you didn't like know in the one that follows it. Mm-hmm. But there are a few things that kind of do feel a lot like it, and I think they stretched probably they walked that border really, really well, because they could have gone, oh, this is too much like the other one. They threw a few different elements in there just to make it a little different. Because I've heard a few people say that, or I don't know where I heard it from, but saying that they're going to actually make one afterwards. Like after the 1982 film, a sequel to the
remake.
Sequel to the remake. Yeah, if they do that, I hope they take it in a completely different direction. Because if we end up finding ourselves in Antarctica again and doing exactly the same thing, it will tank.
Right.
Because there's only so many elements that you can repeat before it gets too repetitive.
Well,
and I think they did it just about right. If you do it again, it's going to be, no, I won't go and see it because I don't want to see the same thing over and over again.
Well, apparently you are not the ones who are catered to Paranormal Activity 3.
Well, anyway, I was going to get back to that. I've seen the first two Paranormal Activities. Has anyone else? Peter, obviously, is scared of them.
I think I saw the first one, and that was it. I think I saw the first one. I didn't see a second.
Steph and I,
I think I've seen it. I don't know if it was that one or if it was something else. Now I have to go back. Yeah.
We started watching Paranormal Activity 1, I guess, whenever it first came out on DVD, we got it from Netflix, and like 45 minutes in, she was like, you have to stop this movie. I can't watch it. Because for the same reason, and I was going to get into this when we talked about The Walking Dead, she can't watch The Walking Dead because she gets very anxious, and she doesn't like to feel that way. Kind of like you, I guess, I assume you get, Pete.
Yeah, I just get way too anxious. I'm like, do it already! Just die already! Just kill him already! You know, I can't take it anymore.
The movie is that it's very kind of slow, and things happen during the course of the movie, and you don't really see anything, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And at the very end, it's kind of like, the last 10 minutes of the movie is like, you know, climax.
I just want everybody to die immediately and very quickly. Like, if you're going to stab the guy, just kill him already, you know? Just get it over with.
The second movie was kind of that way, and I don't think that it did. I mean, obviously, the first movie did. It made all kinds of money because it was made, you know, for like $1,000 or whatever, and it made, you know, $1 billion off of it.
Blair Witch Project, Blair Witch Project kind of thing, yeah.
But the second movie didn't do as well, and it kind of wasn't as good. I kind of felt like it was thrown together, and then one day, you know, I looked on IMDb and it was like, oh, Paranormal Activity 3 coming soon, and I was like, really?
It's kind of like, I think it's like the new Saw, right? Where it's just like...
Well, from what I understand, this movie is going to...
Blair Witch Project?
Right. From what I hear, this movie is kind of going to wrap up the story. The first one was about the main people, and then the second one was about like her sister, and the story was going on at the same time as the first movie, and then this Paranormal Activity 3, oddly enough, is like a prequel to those two, kind of explaining everything, mm-hmm. how they got to that point in the later two movies, or the first two movies.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of flesh out the story and kind of explain everything, but it's going to be the same idea where it kind of seems kind of slow, and it draws you in, and it calms you down,
yeah.
and then action, action, action.
It scares the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, if you see the commercials, that's what they say. It's like, what you see in this movie will change your life, or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that's what one of the ad campaigns.
That's them hyping it.
You have a heart attack and die. Yeah. That'll change your life.
But, like, I mean, honestly, Steph was like, it was the only time that me and her watched a movie, and she was too anxious, and she was like, you have to watch the rest of this movie without me.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
I get pretty anxious, too, but I'm like, I have to see the end by that point, because, like, if I don't, I will not be able to rest.
Yeah.
I mean, I get caught up in it, and I get, to me, being scared is part of the fun. I mean,
yep.
if you're not going to get scared at it, then there's no point in watching it. And
yeah, that's why I don't watch it. I don't want to get scared.
I learned with the Grudge that there's a limit to my being scared. If it's going to be one of those freaky movies, I'll watch it during the day, be scared, and go to bed at night. If I watch it at night and I'm scared out of my wits, I will not sleep.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
I have to spend another 2 hours afterwards watching something else to get my mind off of that.
Yeah. Right, yeah, Toy Story.
Toy
Story, yeah. Woo-hoo.
It probably also has to do with the fact that, like, the movie, you know, the box office at this point in time has been just sorely empty.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you see all the movies that we were just talking about, they're coming out in November. So, for the next couple of weeks, it's probably going to be a little bit more of a dearth still. I mean, $10 million for a second place movie, that's like nothing. Real Steel, you know, a couple weeks, for 2 weeks, it only made like $20 million or whatever. That's nothing. So.
Yeah.
What was the drop off from that? I mean, I didn't have the information. I didn't put up on our board there, but I didn't know what the drop off was. Usually, they can judge how well a movie's going to do by the percentage drop from week one to week two and week two to week three and how long it's going to stick around.
Well, you know, as Real Steel, it was an action movie, so I believe... So actually, it actually retained pretty well. So the first week, the second week drop was only a 40% drop, which is an action film. It's usually about 50%, which is not... It's about right.
Right.
Then the third week, you know, last week, it only dropped 30-something percent. So it's not a lot, but...
Okay.
But, I mean, you can't drop a lot when you don't really make that much. So...
Right.
It's kind of crazy that it's just not, you know, it's not a very good weekend for box office stuff. So maybe that's just
Look at the number five movie is The Ides of March, and that's been out for 2 weeks, I think, only.
Yeah.
So last week it made $25 million, and this week it made four or five. I mean, that's a substantial drop off.
Yeah. I guess. We were talking about
8% drop.
We were talking about that before, right? That The Ides of March wasn't really going to make that much money anyway. It's going to be Oscar bait, and then it'll shoot up again.
I actually wanted to start out by saying I'm surprised that its overall, the gross amount of money that it's made is close to $30 million. I never expected it would do that
actually,
well.
The Ides of March last week made $7 million, so it didn't drop off too much.
Maybe it's been out for a few weeks. Or maybe
we took a break, so it's been out for a few weeks.
That's
It only started out at 10.
Hmm.
Didn't make it as much money. Interesting. Okay. So let's see. Television news. I find this to be kind of funny. Not funny. I'm sorry. Sorry, Charlie's Angels. Well, anyway, Charlie's Angels got canned. So did Memphis Beat got canceled after two seasons. So Jason Lee's wants to get out of job. Prime Suspect apparently is going to be canceled. Even though I see a little further down here, John, that Prime Suspect got a full season. Are they going to cancel the full season in the middle of the season? Like, what's happening?
I saw an article on the internet that said it looks like it's not doing well. It's probably going to get canceled. I mean, I figured I was looking for news that we kind of put this board together last week, and not too much has gone on in the past 2 weeks, so I was looking for anything to put on there to talk about. And like I said, I didn't watch the show. I don't know how well it's doing with the ratings. I just saw this article that said it looks like it's going to be canceled, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Well, kind of brought
apparently
it up.
Apparently it's done, so soon. Don't expect it to take long.
Maybe that's kind of a don't look for it to get a second season type thing.
Yeah, kind of like a gifted band apparently dropped off horrendously, like a lot. Like, nobody watches it anymore, apparently. It did really, really well in the beginning. So the male version of a Ghost Whisperer, apparently, did really well in the beginning. And then it crept out. So it probably...
Oh, and when was this? What was it again?
A Gifted Man. It started out, like, in the beginning.
A Gifted Man.
September,
okay.
It did. It started out really well.
Yeah, it was a
show. And John and I were saying, like, wow, this is amazing. How can you watch a male version of the Ghost Whisperer and people will be, like, taking this on, you know? And apparently it's dropped off a lot.
Aww.
Yeah, so it probably won't make it the second season.
It's also
summer.
On Friday. I mean,
yeah, but
it's not a good time slot
but
for any kind of
did
show.
Well. I don't know. CBS is the old people's
numbers
network.
Numbers did well.
People still watch. CBS has officially taken How to Be a Gentleman off of Saturday, so it didn't even make it from Thursday to Saturday before they pulled it from Saturday. So you may as well stick a fork in them. They're done.
They're done, yeah. They're totally done.
CBS, ooh, apparently, to replace How to Be a Gentleman, which is a show about douchebags, is going to make a show about Fred Durst, aptly titled Douchebag.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant opening, right? I'm not going to watch this. If it's going to be called Douchebag, really?
I'm not going to watch anything with Fred Durst in it. So why?
It's, from what I understand... There's no guarantee that it'll even be on air, but they are going to, I guess, film a pilot and see where it goes from there. I don't expect it to go anywhere.
I don't expect anything like this. I mean, on CBS, really? Come on. Like, VH1 or, you know, something like that, maybe, but...
Apparently the plot is about an aging rock star dealing with family. Who cares?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, in other news, Ringer, Suburgatory, I don't know. Well, Amy's happy about Ringer, I'm sure. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm hoping that we get to find out, like, it was supposed to be on this week. Well, actually tonight, but it wasn't on tonight. I guess there a few things are kind of, like, this week is a slow week, I guess, because a few things have gotten canceled and shuffled around and stuff. So I'm like, oh, man, I have to wait. They're just replaying stuff now.
Okay.
But
they like to do that.
They're doing
sweeps.
Really good with the throw on that. So I'm going,
They're probably holding off for sweeps.
Yeah, maybe, something like that.
Ringer
so.
Is the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Suburgatory is an ABC comedy, apparently. Apparently it's really good, just has a really bad name. So another new Sons of Anarchy it's getting a fifth season because apparently
nice.
It is doing quite well. It's doing better than they expected.
Cool.
And then
DVD sales are probably off the charts, I think.
Yeah, probably.
And that's why they're probably people are coming into it a little bit later. I haven't seen any of it yet, but I do want to catch up and watch it. I think a lot of people are coming in late to it, and that's why it's going to start to get, you know, some more seasons added on to the end.
Yeah, but hopefully, if it's going to stay good, you know it's got to happen.
It's got to get canceled.
It has to. So in other great news, one of their common interest shows, Walking Dead, has received its third season order.
Nice.
Cool.
And apparently it has been going gangbusters for AMC in its first premiere, which did a couple weeks ago. It drew it was a 90-minute episode, and it drew a 7.3 million viewers.
Nice.
It was number one in its demographic that night. So it did great. Episode two did slightly worse. It only, its rating only went down 0.2 points, so it was...
0.2%.
Yeah, 0.2%. So
or 0.2 points, yeah.
Yeah, it did great.
Yeah.
So let's talk really quick about The Walking Dead. What did you... Amy, have you seen both episodes?
I absolutely have seen them.
Okay, so I purposely caught up. I was away this weekend, so I caught up. So let's start with Amy first. What do you think so far of the first two episodes we have seen this season.
I'm liking it. The second one was a little slower, but it had a good ending, so I'm going, okay, I want to see what's going to happen next. And it feels a lot, it feels like we're moving along and that it's very much like the comic, at least to me, because this is a part in there. Of course, they had to switch a few things because of some of the characters that were dead by now are... Sorry, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's cool. You you'd expect it.
Yeah. Some of the characters that were not in there by then are still around. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, let's see how this goes. I don't know how long it's going to be, if they're going to continue those characters or if we're going to end up, you know, so that's the thing. Is it a little bit of a twist? We don't know what's going to happen because it's not like what they had in the comic. But they're really doing a good job. I mean, it's just, for me, I mean, I want to see more. I want to see where it's going. And I kind of feel like it ended in a place where I was like, what happens next? It didn't feel like it was 40 minutes. So
yeah,
I thought, wow,
yeah,
that was over really fast.
Yeah,
I was definitely. Like, darn it, it's been 40 minutes already? Crap.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the thing where like, darn, that's the end? Ah! So, yeah, I think I've got my husband into watching it now, too. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one. I think they're doing a good job, and there's enough questions that I'm going, okay, what's going to happen next, and, you know, where are we going? Yeah, it's working for me, so I'm liking it.
Okay. John,
how about you guys?
What about you, man?
Well, I mean, I got no complaints here. I'm kind of on the same boat where, you know, I was super excited for the first episode, loved it. And it's that feeling is probably going to carry me through the whole season. I can't find anything wrong with it. You know, I get what you're saying about certain characters, Amy. But I kind of feel like, at least the way that reading the comic book, I tend to read the at the very end, the writer Robert Kirkman does a kind of like, you know, a blurb about, like, this is how we got to this point, and this is my feelings about writing this book. And one of the things he said one time was, the best kind of stories are the stories that where the characters kind of drive the story. So, like, my whole thing is, it doesn't have to go the same way as the comic book does. If it starts out with Rick waking up in the hospital the same way the comic book does, he doesn't necessarily have to meet up with his family. He doesn't have to go down that path. Not everything has to be the same. So this world, the world of the Walking Dead TV show, can be taken in a similar direction, but can end up in a totally different place, where certain characters who die quickly in the book may never die in the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of like that, because if they were to follow the storyline of the comic book, I would get bored because I read the comic book.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you've already read it. You know what's going to happen. Yeah.
So adding some of the tenseness and, you know, because I know what happens with two certain characters, and it's got to come to blows. But, you know, that kind of adds to the tension of watching the show. You're kind of like, when is this going to happen? Because it has to happen.
Is it going to happen?
Right. Well, it has to happen.
The other thing is, you wonder, is it really going to happen or is it not going to happen?
Right. So the whole, I mean, the first episode, I felt like it flew by.
For an hour and a half, like, it was kind of amazing.
Right.
The thing is that there were a couple of moments. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there were a couple of moments in episode two that felt really like it had the dark humor, and it felt like I totally could have seen that in the comic, even though it's not in the comic.
Right.
And I like those moments where you kind of feel that, where you get the flavor of what the writer is like in the screen, on the screen, but it's like, that never happened in the comic, but it feels very much like this is exactly how it runs.
Right. And I don't know if...
I like that.
Probably in the first episode, it seems like the first commercial break is really deep into the episode.
Yeah, they
so kind of like,
yeah.
I don't know if they do that on purpose.
Pretty often nowadays, like with,
is that
even
true?
With a lot of television shows, like the lead-in times are, you know, like the I forget the name of that they're really called, but like right before, from the beginning of the show until the commercial, it's like sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes. It's kind of amazing how it does that. It's kind of crazy because you're like, I'm getting so much television. This is so awesome.
Right. Yeah. So that really kind of sucks you in and leads you to the rest of the episode, and I'm really enjoying that. But I got to ask you, Pete, how did you feel during the first episode when they were hiding under the cars?
Oh.
What do you mean?
Steph was like, Steph actually watched the episode, and she was like, it was very tense. I was very anxious, and she watched it, but I could tell she was getting uncomfortable. Like, how were you during, I was feeling tense.
I felt like pretty crazy. I was kind of like, wow, this is a lot of freaking zombies. Actually, what I kept thinking was, holy crap, they hired a whole crap load of extras to walk down this highway at 110 degrees in Georgia. It was insane.
Oh my god, that's funny.
That's what I kept thinking about. And then I kept like, because I remember seeing it was like a nice little like behind the scenes kind of thing, and they were actually saying that the actors didn't want to come out from under the cars because it was really hot. So they were like, assistants were handing them sandwiches as they were laying under the cars and everything. It was kind of crazy. But aside from that, I was like, man, what is going to happen? And then the guy cuts his arm. I was like, oh, that guy is done.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking about was he didn't say one word until the end of the episode. It was kind of
weird. Right.
I was like, why is this guy not talking? What's happening right now? I did.
It was tense.
It was very tense.
They did a good job with that.
The herd of zombies was very tense. And then the kid, I was like, oh, wow. I was like, oh man, they're gonna eat that kid. This is gonna be crazy.
Did you watch the second episode, Pete?
I did. I purposely caught up tonight, so I could, just so we could talk and no spoilers. And
as I still have no idea what happened to one of the kids. We're still looking for her.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny because I thought that was really funny when the hillbilly was like, "We're gonna find her and she's gonna be fine." What am I gonna be? He's like, "Why am I the only guy who's zen out here?" Walking around with this giant ass crossbow. It's pretty funny.
Well, it's funny. I think that character is kind of like supposed to be sort of like the same mindset of viewers watching the show, where he's very like real world, like, stop being such a baby. Let's get this done with. Where every other character is like, you know, I got to worry about this. Rick's like, I got to worry about my kid. The other mom's like, where's my daughter at? And everyone's like crying about this or crying about that. Where in the viewer's mind, they're like, you are being surrounded by zombies. This is what you need to do right now. And that's kind of like what that guy's whole, like, you know, his deal is.
He's
like,
the
you know,
survivalist. Yeah,
he's,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's definitely, I really do like the way his character has kind of, I mean, from the first season, he was just like a real, like, huge issue, right? He was just consistently being a jerk to everyone, not being the team player or whatever. And it seems like now that he's kind of grown into the role where he is the guy who just takes charge without any, like, thoughts or consequences at that point. Because, I mean, his brother is long gone by now without a hand, so you would expect him to be. They never explain that, right? He's dead, right?
I heard some things about how they're going to find the brother at some point.
That's going to be interesting.
But maybe. I think that was a rumor I read on the internet. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be interesting because I
definitely believe it.
I definitely don't remember where, like, his hand was gone and that was it. That was the last we saw of him. I thought.
Right.
It was such a long time ago that I forgot whether or not they resolved the issue. But yeah, I think I really like where it's going. I was actually didn't expect the kid to be shot. I actually expected the reindeer. I was telling John this earlier.
Oh, wow.
I was like, it's either the reindeer, it's either something happens, like the reindeer like is actually a zombie reindeer and it eats the kid. Or the zombie eats the reindeer and the reindeer eats the kid or something like that. I didn't expect them to be shot. I did something. I was expecting something ridiculous to happen, and it was it's close enough to ridiculous. Now they're stuck in a school. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Two characters, yeah.
Two characters. Of them. Yeah. And as a guy, you know, you guys have read the comics.
They're not even in the school. They're just behind.
Yeah, they never even.
In between a door into the school and a gate protecting the glass doors.
Yeah, yeah. And which they're teasing will probably come loose or something like that. As you know, as the sole person of this little round table here that has not read, who actually doesn't remember most of The Walking Dead, I think I only read up to like issue 30 or something like that. And many things have changed since then.
Yes.
And I do know the person that you're talking about that should be dead by now. I'm pretty sure. I think you kind of dragged it out a little bit longer, maybe. Or what's his? All right, let's just say it. Shane should be dead by now, right?
Shane should be totally out of the cast.
He should have totally been blown away, right? Like that. So that affair thing needs to come to a boiling point sooner or later, and I expect it to be within this season.
I predict it'll probably be in the
towards
season
the end
too.
Of the season. Yeah,
towards the end of the season. Yeah. Okay, because they kind of hinted this on episode two. That the wife wasn't really happy with their being part of their family anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I liked how they did a little bit of the background of the mom. You know, she's talking to the friend the day earlier when he gets shot.
Yeah.
And I thought.
Right.
Oh wow! This is right before then. Oh my heck!
So it'll be it's definitely getting off to a strong start, and it'll definitely have a third season, so you guys don't have to worry. And like you were saying, John, this is definitely a character-driven story.
Yes.
And as long as
this is not a story about zombies, this is a story about these characters, which I think is so. And that's what the comic book, even in that.
Right.
I mean, there's zombies in it, but it is a story about the people that are in it. So.
There are issues in the comic book where you never see a zombie, and that's kind of like, that's where you kind of get the feeling that's like, oh, The Walking Dead isn't the zombies. The Walking Dead are the people who are surviving in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my only concern is that people who are watching the show aren't totally going to grasp that idea. And kind of get upset if there's not a whole lot of zombies and zombie killings and this and that in every episode.
I mean, it seems like people are, you know, this season, this past couple episodes, there weren't, like, there were zombies here and there, but, like, especially episode two, there's only two scenes where there was a zombie, right? So, I think, you know, based on the ratings and everything and how well the first season did, I don't think people are really expecting that. I think they kind of forget about that. Like, it's always on their mind. They keep telling you, they keep trying to remind you, like, hey, there is a zombie apocalypse going on here. But at the same time, here are these characters that are interesting. So there's, you never forget that there's a zombie issue going on, but there's always, but it's never, like, the forefront. It's always the characters, and I think it's, people are, you know, they don't really mind that, so.
Right.
All right, well, very good. So that is, I believe that will conclude the fifth episode of Screen View. Again, with me, I have John Denny and Amy Morgan, and we will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.